Do you pray?
Oh, when I'm in trouble, I do.
Do you pray?
No.
Tell me why.
I don't know. I don't really know why, to tell you the truth. Usually, actually, I do, but not very regular.
Do you pray?
Every now and then.
Sometimes I do, yes. Every day, several times a day.
5 times a day.
Many times during a day.
Once a week, maybe.
Every day, all day.
Do you pray?
Sometimes, yeah.
How often is sometimes?
Like, once a month.
I try to get it in, morning and night, so.
Have you prayed this morning?
Not this morning, because I was running late.
What a good question. Do we pray? And we do, but it's interesting. On the latest iPhone app, it's kind of cool, it tells you how much screen time you've used. So this is my phone last week when I'm on vacation. My total screen time at the bottom was 22 hours and 44 minutes for a week. I know, I need to get a life, right? And what's interesting is if you go to the next screen, because my computer here is not working, it tells you how much time I was messaging, or what did I use it for? It breaks it down all the way down there. Now, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if we had an app that said, okay, you prayed? How much did you really pray? And by the way, what did your prayers look like? So if you looked at the next screen, and I got to get this. Oh, there we go. I got it working. Here we go. So how many hours did I spend requesting? How many hours did I confess? Or for that, in reality, it'd be like minutes. How much time did I spend praising and giving thanks as I should? Now, I don't know about you. I try to pray a lot, but I know I'm an utter failure when it comes to prayer, and I don't think I'm alone. I think it was Martin Lloyd-Jones who said, everything we do in the Christian life is easier than prayer. If you think about it, prayer is kind of like air, it's like oxygen. This week, I don't know if you could tell, I have the goop, like everyone else seems to have. I got the lung thing going on, and you know, you don't think about breathing until you can't breathe. It's just so you know that, you really don't. And I just have found it's like low energy. It's like I just need to take a deep breath without hacking. And I thought about that in light of our spiritual life. It's a lot like that. If we don't pray, we don't have spiritual energy. We can go through life, and we do go through life, but often we struggle in life. And it's not because the Lord's left us. It's because we have not drawn near to him. That's why Jesus said, and he said in a parable to them to the effect that they ought always to pray and to not lose heart. And so we're going to look at this whole thing that Dale read through, the whole passage on prayer. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, there to Daniel chapter 9. I think it was R.A. Torrey who said, the person who knows the deep peace of God and the unfathomable peace that passes all understanding are always men and women of much prayer. And that is true. So in this passage that we're going to, Daniel chapter 9 is broken into two sections. One of them is the prayer, and then the next week is the answer, which deals with the 70 weeks prophecy. And most people, when you think about Daniel chapter 9, you think about that in light of this great prophecy that we're going to have unpacked next week. But really, the most important part of this chapter really is the first part when he's talking about prayer. It is a model prayer for us. And so we're gonna dig into this. So as we start to look at it, what led Daniel to pray? Here's a good question. It says, In chapter 9, verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans in the first year of his reign. So there's an event that happens. And this event of a new king, it caused him to pray. He knew that this was going to happen. He had told Belshazzar the vision of the different kings that were kingdoms that were to come. And apparently, Daniel, being moved by Darius's victories, had him search the scriptures. Because look at verse 2. It says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So as Daniel was reading Jeremiah 25, which predicted Israel's captivity that would last 70 literal years, Darius's victory meant that those 70 years were almost over. And so why would he pray if it's like, okay, we have been punished as a nation because we have not listened to the word of the Lord, and now that punishment's almost over, why does he pray? And that's a good question, but prayer is the means by which God fulfills his purpose. And we're going to see in the prayer that he knew what got them into trouble they needed to deal with. And so it was indeed God's word that informed his prayer. Now, I know this is a message on prayer, but I have to say this. We have to be people of the word. That's the one thing. When I was away, this is what I was praying for you. I could talk to every one of you, and for the most part, not everyone, but most of you I could look at and say, I know your struggles because you share those requests with me. I know what's going on. I know your burdens. And what am I going to tell you? My best counsel to you is you seek the Lord. You go to his word, and you go to it daily. We need to be people of the word, and I mean all the time. All the time. God speaks to us through his word, and we speak to him through prayer. And so Oswald Chambers, it says, we have to pray with our eyes on God and not on our difficulties. If you get nothing from this message, get that one. You got to pray with your eyes, not on your difficulties, because I know some of your difficulties are great. They're massive. And if you focus on them, you're going to go into a death vortex of woe is me. But when you put your eyes on God and you do that through his word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, he helps us. Now, in this prayer, there's another great phrase. Daniel turned his face to the Lord. And I love that phrase. Verse 3 says, "Then I turned my face to the Lord, seeking him by prayer and pleas of mercy with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." He's humbly turning to the Lord. He is humbly doing that. Now, that whole concept of turning your face to the Lord, turning his face to the Lord, that's another one. When I was looking at that, that could have been a whole sermon. Because that's what we need to do every day. What a beautiful imagery. You know why this is great? Because by nature, my face is turned towards me and my stuff. And you're no different than I am. You really aren't. And so when our face is on our stuff and our situation, then everything gets bigger, the problems get bigger, the people around you are dumber, they're horrible people. When your face is looking to you, there is no hope, and it is one of those things that, because I deal with this. Pastor Jason and I have the front row seat, which, by the way, Pastor Jason's in the sound booth today, doing a great job there. Thank you for running the lights. So we need a couple extra sound workers back there, which would be a great thing. So, but if you think about this, when our face And again, this all goes together. His word, prayer. I mean, when your face is on you, because some of you are you are messed up, and your situation's messed up. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean that in the kindest of ways. Because I'm messed up, and I live in messed up situations. And so as we turn our face to him, everything changes. And I am convinced one of the reasons that God brings difficulties in our lives is to get our attention, because we will keep our face on ourselves. And there's times where there's tragedies that do happen, and he uses those. Now, the second thing we see here is that turning of the face leads to worship. Look at verse 4. So he turns his face to the Lord. He's seeking him. And then in verse 4 says, "And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O God, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." This is it's like what Jesus, when he did the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." The first thing he does when he looks to the Lord is he worships. He calls him the great and awesome God. Now why does he do that? Because God is great and awesome. When young couples come in and they want to get married, and normally we take people through a long process that's, they got to read 10 books. But the very first meeting when they come into my office, I like to ask them the question, "So why do you love him? Why do you love her? Why do you want to get married?" And most of the time, they're great answers, and they are able to rattle off, "Oh, he's kind, and he's a godly man," and tut, 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 and just rattling off attributes. There have been a few times where, "Oh, she's really good looking. You know, oh, he's got a nice truck." And I'm like, "That's all you got?" I mean, if you're in love with somebody, you should be able to rattle off the attributes of why you love that person. And because you can do it with a team. You can do it with whatever you do love. And so I just kind of ask him the question, why is the Lord the great and awesome God? So right now, I'm going to take like 10 seconds, and you just, in your mind, rattle off reasons why God is great and why he's awesome. Why is he great and why is he awesome? You know, the crazy thing for some of you, it's like, this is a long time, 10 seconds. But it should be real easy for you to start rattling off, "He's my Lord, he's my Savior, there's a whole list, he's my Creator, he's the one that keeps me going, he's given me life, he's holy, he's just." We go all day long talking about his attributes, of his mercy, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's just, he's holy, he's loving and forgiving, he's perfect, he cares, he owns everything, he has saved a wretch like me. It should not be too hard to boast about him, because, you know what, he's a great God. And if you're a newer believer, it might be harder, but let me encourage you that to spend your day getting your face off of you and your little situation and your little problems and put them on the greatness of God and who he is. It's amazing because we do this Wednesday night prayer. When you spend 10 minutes looking at the greatness of God, your problems, which are massive, I'm not downplaying your problems, but your problems come into focus. Why? Because there's a God out there who's massive, and he has everything that's going on in your life. He does. I don't know how he's going to work it out, but he has your life. And when you do that, you can trust this great and awesome God. And so Daniel does that. And as he worships, and then he turns it turns to confession. Because once you get a glimpse of God's greatness, you get an accurate view of yourself. And what is amazing here is when we think of Daniel, we think of Daniel as, man, this guy's perfect. He never does anything wrong. As a matter of fact, he's one of the few people in the Bible that you hear zero criticisms about. You hear zero issues. But as he prays this prayer, he includes himself. Why did he do that? Because Daniel was human. Daniel was a sinner. And Daniel, even though his stuff wasn't recorded, he knew that in a real way, how can he say, Lord, straighten out my country if you don't straighten me out? Help my country if you don't help me. So look at verse 5. And look at these pronouns. We have sinned and done what is wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commands and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in the name, in your name, to our kings and princes and our fathers and to all the peoples. And he mingles in praise, verse 7. To you, O Lord, belong righteousness, but to us belong open shame. And then he goes on to talk about the treachery that they had done as a nation. I don't know if you felt this, but as Dale read that passage, did you feel like you're getting smacked a few times? I mean, he's talking about, we've done this, we've rebelled, we've been wicked. And it's like, okay, enough. I mean, what Daniel prayed there in our society where we don't like to talk about that too much, but it's powerful. Verse 8, to us, O Lord, belong shame. And he kind of repeats some of this, to our kings and to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. And everything that he confesses here, verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, but we have rebelled against you. And by the way, we all have. We haven't obeyed his word. We're just like the Israelites. And what you can't do, and here's the danger, it's like you're sitting next to someone that's like, well, I'm not as bad as they are. Daniel doesn't do that. He takes this all on, and he turns into it. And I just find that it's amazing. Daniel doesn't minimize his... Does he minimize any of his stuff? No. Does he blame shift? Does he say, hey, you've given me a bunch of bad leaders over here? And I was kind of like trying to be a voice piece, but they didn't listen. No, he doesn't blame shift. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't carefully word it. He doesn't do lawyer speak. He tells it like it is. And what an example that is to us. How we need to, you know, you got problems in relationships? Look at you. Not saying that your spouse doesn't have like 90% of the issues, but look at you. You deal with your stuff. And you deal with it between you and the Lord, and you deal with all of it. And you don't say, well, she was better. No, none of that stuff. I mean, he comes clean and he just lays it all out. What a model for us. Why? Because it says in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And so he gets brutally honest with himself. In a little while, I'm going to ask you to do that with yourself. Because this church will be nothing. It'll be nothing. We'll make no impact for the kingdom if we just play church. And so we all got to deal with our stuff, and we all have to be blood earnest when we do it. You know, you want your family to be better? You be a more godly parent. You know, you want your work to be a better place? You let your light shine. You be the man or the woman of God that you're called to be. It's really kind of simple. I'm not saying it's easy. Now, after he worships and after he confesses, then he prays. He gives these requests. Oh. All right, if you can move that screen to the next one, please. He turns his face to the Lord in requests. Look at verse 15. And now, O Lord, our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, we have sinned and done wickedly. And then verse 16, O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath be put away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy hill, because of our sins. He basically says, Lord, help us. Help us in this. Verse 17, now therefore, O God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to the pleas for mercy. For your name's sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is destitute. O God, O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see the desolation and the city that is called by your name. He's concerned about God's honor here. And he goes on to say, not because, for we do not present our pleas before you because we're righteous. It's not like we're bringing anything. It's not like we have earned favor. See, sometimes we don't pray because we think, well, when I get better, then I can pray because then God will accept my prayer. No, you confess your sin and then you pray. He says, but because of your great mercy, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not your own, for your own sake. May my God, because of the city and your people are called by your name. He pleads that God would hear and restore his city and restore the city of God. And you know what's amazing? That earnest prayer, God answered it. We're going to see the answer next week. Just like that. And you might say, well, that's nice, but when I pray, I never get answers like that. And I can see how you would feel that way, but I would say very few of us have gone to the depths of worship and confession. Because when you go to the depths of worship and confession and you pray, you do get an answer. It may not be the answer that you want. God is even working in sometimes the no answers from your perspective. Oh, he's working. And so he turned his face to the Lord. He prayed and he said, Lord, for your name's sake, answer. And so just like Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. There are times when you stay in a situation because God is working in and through that situation. And I know it's not easy, but we don't grow weary, we don't grow faint, we hold on to him, and we keep on praying. So, I'm going to plead for you right now. Turn your face to the Lord. We're going to prepare for communion, and the band's going to come up, or it's going to come up. And here's what I've been praying for us about as I've been in my tree stand for the last 2 weeks, is that as a people, we wouldn't sugarcoat our stuff, that we would say, Lord, you know me, you know what's going on, but that we would intentionally turn our face to him and cry out to him and trust him and worship him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he gives a warning. In verse 28, he says, let a person examine himself then, so that he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why you are weak and ill, and some of you have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. And I think there's a real sense where I'm going to ask you to just, and this can be a little bit lengthy time, but just bow your heads and just talk to Jesus about you. Not about your spouse, not about your kids, not about work, not about the things that are not good. Just talk to the Lord. And confess.